Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. I am your host, Alan Seals, and today we have an up-and-coming actor who I am incredibly excited to share with you, Aaron Dalla-Villa. Oftentimes I interview people that are already on Broadway or who already have decades of what I will call theatrical success. Aaron is only a couple of years into his performing career, and he is one to watch. He is up and coming and has so much talent. He is a classically trained ballet dancer and a rapper, something that he has found and discovered as a method of a bit of self-expression, even most recently into COVID. But he's got a huge TV and film career already, and he's coming to the theatrical world to bring that into his resume as well. This guy just seems to be able to do everything and has an incredible story and is very, very honest and raw about who he is and how he got here. So, Aaron, thank you for sharing this story. As always, before we get into the episode, find me online, Instagram and Twitter at @theater_podcast, on Facebook @official_theater_podcast. You know, if it's not down for whatever reason, please leave a rating and a review wherever you are listening now. And everybody, please enjoy this episode with Aaron Dalla-Villa.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
My guest today was most recently seen as the slimy character Mordred in the Bay Street Theater production of Camelot. He has numerous theater and film credits in addition to TV credits, including Gossip Girl, Girls 5, Eva, Madam Secretary, Gotham, On the Verge, and Late Night with Seth Meyers. He's both a classically trained ballet dancer and a rapper. Aaron Dalla-Villa, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
What's up, man? A hell of an intro, man. I like that.
I want to start with the ballet dancer and the rapper, because those are two bits of culture that I would not have expected to have a wonderful crossover. So let's start with that. Tell me how you got, I guess, you know, little Aaron, right? How did you get to be this classically trained ballet dancer, and where did rap come in?
Man, ever since I was a kid, I was always a big fan. I guess the rap came first. I was always a fan of hip-hop music. You know, I listened to Kanye West and Jay-Z growing up, and then the crossover with Linkin Park as well. So that was my thing. And I got into music first, and then my mom was basically like, I could do a little hip-hop and stuff because I liked hip-hop music. I liked to dance that style. And my mom was like, they need a guy on the dance team. My sisters were on the dance team, a local competition dance team. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So I started doing hip hop, and the teacher saw me and was like, I really want to put him in ballet. And I was resistant at first, but then I started doing ballet, and I fell in love with it, and I got good at it. And then I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to be a ballet dancer. So actually the rap led to hip hop.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, the rap led to ballet and not the other way around.
Right. Yeah. So wait, how old were you then at the time when you started first rapping and then when you got into ballet?
Started rapping when I was probably around the 12. 12 was when, you know, I wasn't like rapping. I just had an affinity for the music. 13 when I got into ballet, and then I started writing lyrics when I moved out, like 18, 19. Yeah, and I just store them on my computer, and I never did anything with them. And it was actually the pandemic that actually said, hey, it's time to put this out into the world.
Oh, wow. So this is sort of a newish thing, I guess, to put yourself out there in terms of receiving criticism, because when you start writing songs,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's vulnerable.
Oh, it very much so. And that's why I'm happy that I put it out there, because I've come to a point where I've realized everyone's kind of busy with their own thing. No one really cares. If people want to have an opinion about something, fine. But I do this for me. You know, I do this for me just so I can put it out there and say, hey, I did that. It's out there in the world. Let it be what it is, you know? And if it catches fire and if people love it, great. If people don't like it, then they don't have to listen to it. So,
right. Well, that's a good attitude to have. I think there's so much, especially in the performance aspects, right? The performance space that the people lend itself to doing this type of work because they're seeking some sort of validation. They're seeking that attention to get the affirmation from others for one reason or another. So to be able to say, you know what, I'm putting this out there for me, and if you don't like it, just don't listen to it. That's a really, really good start. And, you know, if I were to look back and give advice, this is my advice, is that I think you're doing a good job. And just like, remember this, remember that you said this, because I think there's going to be a time when you're like, oh my God, that critic didn't like me. Or, you know, if you're like,
it's already happened. Like literally, I sometimes can't watch the reviews. I got a new movie coming out. Literally, I've had reviews that didn't like my character, or they complained about the film or whatever and stuff. And I can take things so critically and harsh. And yeah, that validation. I first started doing this industry, I wanted to make it so I could, you know, get my mom a house. Like I wanted to get her out of the living situation she was in, and I wanted to provide for her and stuff. And now I do this for me. Like I don't do this to get their approval. I know they're proud of me, but at the same time, I don't need them to be proud of me because I'm proud of me. Like Snoop Dogg talked about it. He was like, I want to thank me. I want to be proud of me. And that's how I feel. I thank me. I want to be proud of me for going through what I went through and coming out on the other side. And so the validation comes from me being proud of what I do. But yeah, 100%, man, you got to stay grounded, because that one critic could say something, then all of a sudden your mind starts spinning and the self-doubt creeps in, all that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I ask what, you know, you said you're proud of you for going through what you went through and coming out the other side. What does that mean?
Man, coming from Suffolk, Virginia, man, and seeing, you know, people getting married at 20-something, and not that it's any wrong, but, you know, but like, I just had, bigger aspirations in life. You know what I mean? And just coming from that environment and not being in the entertainment industry, and family has a past dealing with addiction and illness, and, you know, coming from that environment and getting out of that and becoming independently financially stable on my own. And that's come basically, I didn't say I came from nothing, but I did come from like middle class, blue collar, like, you know, and there were situations where I felt like I was held back, you know, personally growing up. Like when I was dancing, my dad, Billy Elliot, they were like, yo, he's got to audition for Billy Elliot on Broadway. He's got to audition for Billy Elliot on Broadway. My dad wouldn't let me audition for Billy Elliot on Broadway because his best friend in the movie is a homosexual. And I come from a very conservative upbringing and very anti-homophobic and all that stuff. And now I work in the arts, you know what I mean? But listen, they're from a different time. He was born and raised, you know, he was born in the 50s, you know, like they're from a different time. So, not 50s. He was born and raised in the, how old is he now? 70s. But anyway, 70s. But like that, they're from a different time. You know what I mean? So, but that's where I came from. And I said, when I was 18, I was like, I got to get the hell out of here. So I did. So I did, man. So yeah, it's made me a part of who I am today. It's made me fight harder. It's made me more ambitious. And I really know the value of a dollar. I really know the value of a dollar. So
I can relate to growing up in the South. I grew up in a tiny little town in North Carolina.
Oh, man, which one? My family's from North Carolina. My mom's family's from North Carolina and South Carolina.
I tell people I'm from Raleigh because that's all that they... Yo, that's what people know.
I got
but Yeah, but it's I'm actually from a town in called North Wilkesboro, which is where NASCAR was created.
Oh, man.
If y'all was a NASCAR fan, then the speedway around there, man.
I don't give a shit about NASCAR.
I could hear it on race day from 10 miles away, but that's about as close as I ever got to it. Oh, my God. No. Yeah. So also the Tyson Chicken processing plant, the capital of the East Coast, I think. Most of your Tyson Chicken comes from this processing plant in my hometown. That's
amazing.
It.
It's not even real chicken. Amazing.
God, this is way off topic. I love it, though. I remember driving around the highways and when I was going, you know, to and from high school and whatnot, and you get stuck behind a chicken truck, like just one of these giant 52-foot flatbeds with stacks of chickens, and the stench that comes off when you're driving behind is I'd rather sit behind a garbage truck.
I'm good, man. I don't buy nothing on Tyson chicken. I don't buy frozen chicken, man. You know what I mean? I'm good.
Well, that's my hometown, so I'm with you. I'm with you.
I relate. My mom is, Jesus, man. Like, you know, super conservative. The rapture's happening in a year or 2 years, whatever it is. The New World Order. Like, listen, I got stuff to do. Like, y'all can watch YouTube videos all day. I got stuff to do. Okay. All right. Wow. I got an interview with the theater podcast. Okay. All right. So y'all stay over there and I'm gonna go over here. So
I recently saw you in Camelot. I saw the production of Camelot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
No, my man.
I did. I loved it.
Thank you, man.
That was the first thing I saw. That's the first theater production I saw post-pandemic. Well,
wow. Post-pandemic, you went a year and a half without seeing live theater, basically?
Pretty much.
Damn.
Yeah, there was not a lot happening.
No, and it was
so nice to get out there. And I've been friends with James Harkness forever. And
I love James Harkness. I live with him in a house.
Yeah, I know.
Me and a few other. I love James Harkness. I'm actually going to his invited dress for Ain't Too Proud on the 15th.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see that crowd back on Broadway. But him and Jeremy Kushner. And of course, it was fun because the night I was there, Julie Andrews was in the audience.
Oh, you were the opening night or closing night?
Closing night.
Julie Andrews with, yo, it was lit, man. It was lit. We had a great time.
It was so cool. Yeah, because she and her daughter started the theater, the Bay Street Theater.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's that connection there. But anyway, I bring that up because like you've got rap, you've got ballet. I love how they threw some ballet for you into the show. That was pretty cool. I was like, damn, that dude can dance.
And that's funny is that Marco Santana, people used to see me as a dancer. And then I had an acting coach basically say, take the dance credits off the resume because if people see you as a ballet dancer, they don't see you as anything else. It's weird. I don't know what it is.
Oh, good advice.
It's weird. So put the dance in your special skills so that people see you as an actor. Now people see me as an actor and the ballet is kind of a secret weapon that I use. So I show up to rehearsal and Marcos is like, starts doing the choreography and I'm like really catch on and he looks at me and he's like, you a dancer? Like, what's going on here? And I was like, yeah, I can do whatever. And he's like, all right, so do some fuertes here. I was like, okay, cool. So it's cool. It's better to have as a secret weapon if you're trying to stay diversified. And if anything I've learned with investing in stocks and Bitcoin and whatever stuff is also the diversification of your portfolio. If you want to work, be diversified. Be focused, but be diversified in your skills and your talents.
Well, so of everything I've been reading, right, you know, we've got everything we've talked about, but then, of course, talking about Camelot and the other theater credits you've done, mm-hmm. you're a singer and you're an actor.
Yeah.
And man, you got the slimy, Mordred, I wanted to hop up on stage.
You hate him or what?
Oh my God, Mordred. I was just like, oh, what a jerk.
And he does it in such a way where he's not like, ha ha, I'm evil. He does it in the way of like, hey, how you doing, Dad? You good? Like, I'm here to be your friend. You know what I mean? And he's just sly as shit. Just,
So what path do you want to go down though? Because now you're moving ballet to your special skills. You're moving dance to your special skills.
Yeah.
And then you've got these movies that are coming out. You've done lots of TV credits and now you're singing, right? You can sing. You're doing this theater. Do you want to go to Broadway? Do you want to keep doing film? Where do you want to go?
Movie star. Movie star. That's the focus. Movie star. Yeah.
Broadway movie adaptation.
That would be sick. Listen. If I have an offer to do an off-Broadway show next year, I'm waiting on the contract. That would be a year and a half contract. We'll see how that goes. If I got offered the opportunity for Broadway, you know, I want it to be the right role, something that I could consistently do 8 shows a week and keep bringing my 110% of myself to it every time and never, because I don't ever like to get into a situation where I'm just kind of like, all right, let's get this over with. Let's churn it out. Because the reality is, and you know, people talk about this, there's that little kid in the audience. That's me when I was a kid who's seeing their Broadway show for the first time. You know what I mean? So I want to be that spark of inspiration that kind of bites them. You know what I mean? But I feel like you have so much more accessibility with film to reach a wider audience. The beauty of theater is that it's that moment that is captured in that time and it's never seen again until the next day and it's a completely new moment. But then the beauty of TV and film is that it's captured forever and someone can see, it can be seen by so many more people. So my biggest path right now is focusing on the movie star angle, but being open to the universe's opportunities when it comes to TV, film, and those are the main focus. It's acting for sure. The rapping, the music, I put that out because I love it because it's a hobby. I'm not trying to tour or anything. I'm very lucky because they've actually been able to blend. One of the movies I have coming out, I actually play a hip hop mogul and I wrote 2 songs for the character and they're actually in the film. So that has happened. That's what I wanted to happen. I wanted the things to kind of marry on that scale, and they have. So, and that's only happened because I've put the work out, and the universe has been like, okay, let's come together. So, that's my focus right now. And the dance I like to have as a special skill thing on the back burner and stuff, because you never know. They can make another remake of Footloose, or they can make something and it's like, oh, we need a dancer or whatever and stuff. Okay, Aaron's ready to go. You know what I mean?
Listen, so you got Lin-Manuel who's merging hip hop with Broadway. I think you got a path to merge hip hop with ballet.
Yeah, you know, that's a great thing you say. You know, if I were to come up with a show like Hamilton, but my own version of something, a Broadway show, I mean, that man is... he is really connected to the source, you know. He is connected to some sort of artistic energy, and I know he's a workhorse. The man just works nonstop and is just so dedicated to his craft and just so absolutely brilliant. That would be definitely something down the road that I would be interested when I've satisfied these other things that I want to do first, and then maybe we can step back and say, okay, I want to create this thing for the stage or for the film, that kind of thing. Because right now, my focus is, besides auditioning and what I'm shooting, developing this one feature film script for me that I'm really excited about. Then maybe other projects will come in down the line. I don't like to be working on too many things at once, and I can do that because then my energy just gets spread out and thin, and I'm not able to focus as much and stay as grounded as I want to be.
Oh, I totally get that. And it feels like and I don't know if, I guess, I was going to say, I don't know if it's good or bad. I think it is leaning more towards bad. But with the use of the internet, the use of social media, that the majority of it's not as easy just to show up in New York and be on Broadway anymore, to have that talent and come out, because now, all things equal, you're gonna probably, as a producer, pick the person with the bigger social media following, and that's gonna come from if they've been in TV and film.
You know, that does have to, I will always think that merit and talent will overtake social media always. Now, I think social media is a great avenue where you can, if you have a talent, if you dance, if you act, if you sing, I think putting that on social media is a great avenue. You know, I've booked jobs off of social media. And yes, the social media angle is a very real thing that we have to take into consideration now. But I've been told by directors that it's first, are they a professional? Can they do the job? Are they going to be crazy? Are they going to be good? And then what's their social media following?
Yep.
You know, maybe commercials where it's more about, you know, you're selling the product. All right, cool. We want to, you know, get someone who can promote it and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to the craft and the talent, I will always think they will take someone, casting directors, they will always take someone with talent and merit before social media. And them having the numbers just so happens to be a great thing too. You know, that's why I have someone who manages my social media, because I personally can't stand it, because I will find myself scrolling and then all of a sudden I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute, I've wasted an hour of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd much rather be someone who's well-respected for what they do. And not to say that people on social media aren't well-respected for what they do, but as someone who pops up in movies and you shows, and literally people are like, oh man, I love that Aaron Dellavilla guy. He's great at everything he does. So I'd much rather focus on honing my craft and working on those projects than being on Instagram all the time. You know?
Do you think, I know there's pros and cons to both, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the people who use social media to show truly the authentic side of everything, right? The good and the bad of like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I called out, I'm having a panic attack. Like the good and the bad versus others who, and I'm guilty of this too, of just only posting the good stuff sometimes, because I'm like, I don't need people to know that I'm unhappy right now.
Yeah. I have to say, for those who do post the reality of life, bravo to you, showing the goods and bads, because your honesty is what social media needs, because we have to realize that social media is not real. This is an image that we put forward for people to believe. You know what I mean? I'm verified now, you know, to some people, they're like, oh, it's blue check, whatever and stuff. People don't know that literally this past weekend, I worked a catering job, you know, for some extra money at One World Trade Center. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People who see my profile on Instagram would never know that,
right?
Because they're like, oh, they only see what I want them to see. And for the most part, I'm posting like editorial shots, or I'm doing good, or review and blah, blah, blah. I will post like, yo, social media is not real as well. And I'll talk about that in my live Instagrams as well. I always think it's beneficial for us as a society to show both sides of true and false. I think that's better for us and our mental health, so that we stop comparing ourselves to each other, which is something that I can get into. Because I'm comparing it to their highlights on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually worked with a guy. He works with Tony Robbins. He tours with him, Nick Santanatasso. And the dude made a song, and I was in his music video. And he talks about how Instagram is our highlight reel. You know, so I would say that anyone who's posting content, you're doing better for society to post the goods and the bads, but you might not get as much followers because it's just what it is. Because, you know, Instagram, it's about the flex.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the flex, and you hear it in our culture, you hear it in our music. And I actually think that's what prevents us from being truly vulnerable. And that's why I think it's so important to have art, which allows us to be vulnerable and to look at society, you know, because if we didn't have art, everything else is just ego. Think about it. It's just ego.
Whoa. Hold on. I got to process this.
Yeah, man. That's going to be, I saw the quotes on your Instagram that you had different guesses. So we're going to pull stuff, pull a quote. Yeah, it literally is. It's, you know, it's just, if it wasn't for art, you know, everything else would be ego. So
we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode.
Well, so let's get back to what you said a second ago about maintaining mental health, right? Because you say you don't want to post, and the highlight reel, right, is more of the good stuff. Mm-hmm. But so what do you do when you've got so much going on and you know, the times are good, but you're still doing catering jobs for extra mm-hmm. money, and you know, the stress of mm-hmm. maintaining this life while still maintaining the appearance of being successful in this life, those come hand in hand, right?
I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean? Maintaining the life that I do and the social media keep up?
No, like literally you, Aaron, mental health, like closed doors, the end of the day, you're tired. What are you doing? What are you doing to unwind, to recharge, to make you feel better?
Meditation. I got a candle lit. You know, I got up at 8 a.m. today. I like to get up early and have my cup of coffee. I have an espresso machine, you know, and sit back, put on my robe. You know, I got a few robes that I like to wear around the house. I put on my robe and just take in the day. I always make a to-do list every day for what do I want to accomplish. And I try to spend less than an hour on social media. The biggest thing for me is time management. So less than an hour on social media, post on IG, post on TikTok, let everyone else who I have working, who's managing whatever and stuff, take care of that aspect. My biggest thing in Instagram and social media platforms was I wanted to get verified because, mm-hmm. you know, that was the biggest thing. Then once I got verified, I was like, okay, cool, I can chill. Because when these more movies come out, more people see you in these productions, they're going to follow you because mm-hmm. they want to follow you. And that's way, because I think we think of it such as a backwards way, like, oh, we have to get the following to get the job. No, just get really good at what you do, get the job, you'll get the following. Trust me, you will. People see your work, they want to follow that. Look at Squid Game, all those actors, social media accounts blew up and stuff. But what do I do, Aaron? It could be a bath. It could be Epsom salt. It could be this lavender bubble baths. I love bubble baths, candle. I swear, man, I got incense. I got Palo Santo. You know, I burned that. I got the crystals. I wear a moldavite ring. I'm into that life. I'm about to get into Reiki. Reiki. Some girl's like, oh, I'll do this. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. Yeah. Yeah, and also, it's realizing where your energy is sucked. Like, I can't do too much catering anymore or work in the restaurant energy anymore because I don't like how, for the most part, it makes me feel about myself, you know, and my self-worth. And mm-hmm. we really have to, like, because money is energy. It's not just, you know, most of the time we trade our time for our money and we time our energy, but if you're going to work a job that's going to devalue your self-worth, it's going to affect you much longer than after that shift ends. So where are you spending your time? Is your energy being fed? If not, like I could work 18 hours on a song or a script or whatever and stuff, but I'm being fed, you know, as opposed to working 6 hours on a catering job, waiting tables where I'm exhausted by the end of those 6 hours. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So how do I refill the well? It's real spiritual stuff, you know, it's prayer, it's meditation, it's staying grounded, you know, so that I'm not all over the place and that I can effectively manage my time.
That's such a high level of self-awareness that I wish more people had.
Bro, it's taken years. It's taken therapy, it's taken sobriety, it's taken, I think that's the biggest thing is that when, now that I'm like been sober for a while, you get really clear, you know, and then you mm-hmm. realize when you walk out into the world, how many people are operating from a place that they're not fully aware they're operating from. Does that make sense? Like, literally, it's like, I think to myself, I'd be like, why is this person so crazy? Like, I was talking to myself, talking to a friend the other day, and I was trying to communicate with them in a grounded manner, and they're just going all over the place. And I'm looking at them as an observer, and I'm like, oh, okay, you're operating from this place. Okay, this argument is not worth my time. Let's end it. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm just in a really grounded place right now. Listen, I can have my moments where, you know, especially if I'm working on a show or a character where I can get emotional and, you know, I just have to remind myself to be grounded and self-aware. I think self-awareness is one of the most important things that we can have as human beings. So,
well, thank you for talking about sobriety. I think it's really important, and it kind of puts, not having met you before this, it puts some things into perspective about what you were saying about how you're recharging and valuing your self-worth. And there's a lot that I think when you go through AA and when you make the choice to become or to stay sober and whatnot, like, you have to do so much self-reflection, and then you're relying, like, that was filling a void. So first it's like identifying what void that was filling, and then you got to figure out how to fill that void with something else. And so that's why I think it's really cool that all the stuff you're trying, you know, looking for these alternatives, these safe and healthy alternatives, right? Like, it is as hokey as it sounds to some people who may have never tried it. Reiki, if it works for you, awesome. If Epsom salts work for you, bubble baths, putting on your favorite robe. I have a friend who her whole thing is like, kimonos. She just wants to wear kimonos around her house. That makes her feel happy all day long, right? So find what works for you and figure out what it is that's going to keep you happy and grounded. Because like you said, I love how you put it, where if you're working something, if you're around energy that makes you feel less about yourself, then you're not going to want to put forth, I forget how you said it, that your energy is going to suffer, your work is going to suffer, your creativity is going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're working on something that makes you feel that limits your sense of self-worth, the lasting effects is going to happen further after you've ended that shift. You know, so yes. If it's not going to help you, then we all understand that we all have to make a living, and I have a certain amount of money that I like to make a week, so, you know, regardless of what I'm doing. So, you know, I'll structure out and be like, okay, I can handle these 12 hours, whatever, of doing this job that I don't necessarily like, for the benefit of having that money to do what I like. You know what I mean? So I have to just prep for that. And I think all this self-reflection and AA stuff that really helped, and because you do have to make amends and look into yourself and stuff. And it made me realize that the hole I was filling was the hole that of a child. Like, you know, I, growing up, didn't feel like I got the love and attention that I wanted. So I was always seeking this validation through attention, which is probably why I'm a performer. you know, it's that love and attention and being the middle child or whatever. But now, going through all that, I do it for me now. You know, I do it. I look at the inner child and I talk to him and I'm like, I'm proud of that inner child, and I do this for me. And now that kind of takes the pressure off, because you don't have to impress people, or because what I've realized is that you'll never change people. You can try to, they have to choose to change themselves. Mm-hmm. You can impact people. You can potentially persuade them, but ultimately it's their decision to change. So lead by example. Just continue to put the work out. Let your actions speak. That's the biggest thing, man. I was catering with this guy, and it's really sad, you know, when you see someone you lived with. When I first moved to New York, I was living in a house with 10 dudes, and one of them was my ex-manager. And so it was 9 guys, and he all represented them. I don't think any of them are acting anymore. And this one guy, he kind of had, you know, mental problems and stuff. Talented guy. It just energetically is not in the right place. And, you know, to look at how both of us, not to compare, but like the paths that we had taken since seeing him, you know, living with him 5 years ago, are drastically different. And I'm glad that I committed to the work. And, you know, he's in my ear telling me about all the things that he does, is going to do and all that stuff. And I wish him well, but talk is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, the ability to go out and do something and to be consistent with it, which, oh my gosh, if you showing up is the most important thing, showing up consistently will put you on another level. Because the reality is that most artists, actors are downright lazy. I'm telling you, man, like most people are lazy. Literally,
I wouldn't confine that to actors. I think it's just in general.
In general, most people are lazy. And I can't not wake up and do something. You know, some people would be like, Aaron, do you ever take a day off? And I said, yeah, there are days where I severely need to recharge. And I'll be honest, I do nothing. Mostly on the weekend, sometimes I will literally do nothing. And those are some of my most recharged days. But besides that, I am going and going, hopefully in a steady, grounded manner to where I'm not wasting all my energy. It's not scattered. It's focused. So I'm using it most effectively. But if you show up and you continue to show up consistently, that speaks for itself. And then when you walk into these rooms, you don't have to prove anything because you've already done the work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest, like I'm now seeing that is that all the work I've put in is now starting to pay off. And then people are starting to see me differently. And then they're like, oh, and I'm like, oh yeah, because I did all this work and I just continue to show up consistently. And now my job is to just stay on that path and find ways, always be looking at yourself, find ways, how can I improve? Because we don't improve through leaps and bounds, we improve incrementally.
Mm.
You know, so because otherwise, if we try to do leaps and bounds and stuff, we're so quickly to resort to our own habits, our past habits, because we're habitual creatures. Find little incremental things that you can improve on, you know, so.
That's perfect. So yeah. I want to touch on one more thing, though. Sure. Dalla Villa is Italian.
Yeah.
And you were telling me a sec before we started recording that you work with a genealogist to track your heritage.
So I was judging this my friend's comedy show the other day, and I met Deborah Gregory. She created the Cheetah Girls. And we became friends. And then she starts talking about how she hired a genealogist because she didn't know anything about her, and she started from scratch. And then she realized she was Black and Italian, and then she was related to all these people. And I said, I got to do this because it's weird coincidentally, but I don't believe in coincidence. You know, I believe in the universe. I found out recently that my Italian family off Ellis Island, they migrated to Ozone Park, Queens, and we have, you know, cemeteries there with my mm-hmm. family relatives who live here. We helped build houses for the mafia, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, we were constructors in New York, construction workers in New York, and also then we worked in Virginia, Norfolk. And I found out one of my relatives who's is a sergeant in the NYPD, he actually came and saw Camelot, him and his girlfriend. So I got connected with him. Then I was like, you know what? My uncle was like, hey, you have a relative in Italy who works in the film industry. I want to connect you guys. So he came to New York and now he's working over in Italy. So I thought to myself, huh, how can Aaron Dalla Villa expand? Well, if I trace my roots back and find out that I'm eligible for Italian citizenship, for one, I can connect with all of my family there, which will welcome me with open arms. But I could become fluent in Italian and then go work in the Italian film industry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking in terms of expansion. So I hired a genealogist who's going to trace I already have a lot on Ancestry.com done, is going to continue through with the main focus of, is Aaron Dalla Villa eligible for Italian citizenship, which I hope I am. So I'm excited, man, because the life unexamined is a life not worth living. So I'm really examining my life and I want to know where I came from, because it kind of gives you a sense of pride and a sense of purpose in what you do, to know, man, my distant relative was this, you know, they did this really cool thing. You know, I'm honoring the family and the tradition and community and connection. And it's really exciting for me. It's really, because I don't want to hear these stories of like, oh yeah, well, your family was this before this, and them not know. You know, I want to actually be like, to my kids one day, you know, if I have kids or if I adopt, basically be like, yeah, you know, I came from da 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 da, so you're from da 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 da. You know, like actually have the evidence and it be real and it be factual, so they can take that on when I pass the torch. So
very cool. Oh, no. That's so cool. Now you're making me want to go and
right.
track down my lineage too.
My sister's wedding is this weekend, and I'm going to get my mom and dad to take a DNA test. So I'm going to order them on Ancestry.com. And watch, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to find out if I'm eligible. I'll watch, the rest of my family who's there is going to be like, I want to take a DNA. That kind of, you know, like everyone's going to want to do it. And that's what I mean. Like, as opposed to me being like, hey, do you guys want to do this thing? Just by me being like, yeah, I'm going to do this thing to figure out da da da, it's going to make them want to do it rather than me forcing them to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. All right. So three closing questions I ask everybody at the end of the episodes. The first one is, what motivates you?
What motivates me? The desire to be better.
I think if I can add two, just given the conversation we just had, it's self-discovery.
I like that better. I am, it makes sense. I am a Sagittarius. So the self-discovery. Yeah.
All right. We'll go with that one. All right. So the next question then is, what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now, starting out down a similar path?
I got a lot of advice I would give him. Be patient. Be patient. Life is a marathon. Be patient. Work hard. Know that the universe works on its time, not yours. So.
All right. And then the last question, if you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
TV, film, theater.
Interpret it as you will. Your choice.
Come on, you got to limit. You got to narrow it down.
Theater.
Network, Bryan Cranston.
Ooh, I never saw that.
Fantastic.
I was so upset I never saw
Fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
He's one of my favorite actors.
Look at his career. See, this is where I talk about patience. You know, like he became a world famous star after Breaking Bad. And he didn't get his Malcolm in the Middle break till he had done. Look at his resume, like one episode here, one episode here, one episode here, two episodes here. You know, he had done a lot of work. And that's the kind of career that I think is one of the best careers, because he's just so well respected. You know, he's not just famous to be famous. You know, he's respected. And people are like, man, I respect that guy because of the quality of work he brings to the table.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, there was something that somebody told me once, and I forget who it was. In one of my episodes here, they said that we were talking about child stars and whatnot, and we were saying, this person told me that they think that people kind of get stuck in an emotional rut that keeps them basically where they were when they got famous. So as a child star, that's why, you know, maybe a lot of the hypothesis was a lot of child stars grow up and they still have so many issues and a need for satisfying that inner child, because that's kind of where they're stuck. They never were allowed to grow up because the world continued to treat them like whatever they were when they got famous.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense to me. And that may be why Sarah Paulson says her advice, don't succeed too early.
Yeah, well, so taking this back to Bryan Cranston and other people like Morgan Freeman and these people who have had massive success starting in middle age. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have a presentation about themselves that is much, much more earthly and grounded and whole than your traditional child star. Yeah, I'll stop there, but
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly where you're going down, and I agree with it.
Cool. No. Well, then where can we find you online and in the wonderful world of social media?
Instagram! everything is Aaron Della Villa. So Instagram, Twitter, @ Aaron Della Villa.
Facebook. Is it on TikTok too, right?
Yeah, I got a TikTok. You know, I only got 600 followers. I post here and there kind of thing, you know. So whatever.
Well, let's work on growing that. Get the Tiki Talks up. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is that my goal is to get to 2,000 followers, and once I get my verification badge, I won't give a damn.
That's all it is. It's all about that blue check.
I know.
When you get more of me at thetheaterpodcast.com. I'm not on TikTok. I don't know what I'm doing on TikTok, but I am on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast, Facebook/official theater podcast. Leave a rating and a review wherever you are listening. This has been edited by Well-Rounded Hoodlum Productions. Jukebox the Ghost gave us the intro and outro music, and Aaron Della Villa gave us this wonderful conversation. Thank you, Aaron, so much.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much for this interview. And thanks for coming to see Camelot, man. It means a lot. Oh,
it was good. It was so good. Just to be in a theater again. And it was outdoors. And the weather was perfect. And the energy was amazing. And my God, thank you for doing that, dude. It was incredible.
Excellent, man. And I'm not Mordred, so you know. Yeah.
Right. That's something else. That was Anna Gunn. Anna Gunn told me once, she was like, she gets so much hate about being Skyler White. And I was, you know, talking about Breaking Bad again,
yeah.
You know, just people send her hate mail and they stop her on the street and they're like, you're a jerk. How could you treat him? Like, that's my character. I'm literally performing something somebody else wrote for me to do.
Right.
Like, I'm a nice person. I really am. So yes, Mordred is a character, people. Aaron is a cool guy.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.